Ace Podcast.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Everybody, welcome to this latest edition of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. My name is Aaron.
And my name is Craig.
And we're coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios just outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
That was like Craigbot. Did you hear that?
It was Craigbot.
I am Craig.
Kind of like the Fembots. Well, a lot like the Fembots. Anyway.
Don't you have a story to get to?
We got a lot of stories. Let's go.
Beep, bop. Okay, well, I don't know if I need to read this next story or not.
Well, the reason this next story is so interesting, you know, I love Survivor. I love reality shows.
Why don't you live in reality?
But Alone is a good one because Alone is real reality. They don't even call it reality television. They call Alone unscripted because there's not even a camera crew there. It's just these people alone.
They just have like a phone to film with or something?
No, they give them GoPros and one nice camera.
But they do everything themselves.
Everything. They set it all up themselves.
What if they come back and there's footage with just their finger in front of the lens? That show doesn't make it?
That contestant would probably be booted.
What does this have to do with the story that I'm supposed to read?
What I was trying to get to is, you know, I like Big Brother, I like Alone, but I like Alone better because it's more reality. This TV show right here that we're about to discuss is real reality to the scary degree.
Okay.
I mean, this is like Running Man type stuff. And this...
Get to the chopper. Different movie.
Yeah, but same
only,
actor.
That's the only thing I could do, though.
Get down!
Get down!
And I always do, draw your curtains, because I heard him in an interview one time talking about saving energy.
Draw your curtains.
Be sure to draw your drapes and your curtains.
Coitins?
Yeah.
Coitins. What was that? It's Three Stooges on her. Anything. Anyway.
Anyway.
Right?
Go ahead with this.
Everything is allowed. Fighting, alcohol, murder, smoking, anything.
Yes. Murder. You know,
murder,
fighting, okay, alcohol, okay, smoking, sure, why not? They do that on TV anyway, but murder?
And a couple things we're not going to mention.
Yeah.
These are the rules of the new TV reality show, an ultimate nine-month Siberian, well, they're crazy. That's where they send everybody. You'll go to Siberia?
It gets crazier.
Nine-month Siberian survival test, stranded in remote taiga?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
With bears and wolves in minus 40 degrees Celsius winter.
Wow.
The online project screened 24/7 around the world will see 30 male and female contestants seek to stay alive in the wilderness populated with bears and wolves. Organizers boast everything is allowed, including murder.
Ugh.
And other stuff.
Can you imagine?
But would-be participants are nevertheless warned, you must understand that the police will come and take you away. We are on territory of Russia and obey the laws of the Russian Federation.
You must not murder.
Eat the moose and squirrel.
Where's my vodka?
Moose and squirrel.
I like how they try to wash their hands of it. Okay, we want you to be able to do anything just horrible.
Do whatever
you
want.
Oh, by the way... I mean, it's bad. Don't do that because you could get in trouble.
You're on film.
Yeah, I mean, but still, it's almost like they want them to do this stuff.
Oh, I know. It's like they're promoting their program by saying you might see someone actually get murdered.
Yeah. Contestants will be permitted knives, but no guns.
Yeah, that's not fair.
So nobody can bring a knife to a gunfight.
That's not a knife.
That's not a knife. They will be given survival training from Russia's elite former GRU Spetsnaz operatives. Spetsnaz?
Wasn't that the name of their spaceship?
That's what I thought. But after that, they will be on their own coping with temperatures ranging from 35 degrees Celsius in high summer to minus 40 degrees Celsius or lower in the depths of the Siberian winter. The contest called Game 2 Winter is the brainchild of Novosibirsk, whatever,
good.
Entrepreneur Yevgeny Payakovsky.
Sure. Hey, wait, hang on, I want to play this.
There is a rabbit with a pancake on his head. I don't know what you're talking about.
We done playing it now?
That's our Russian theme.
That's nice. He said, we will refuse any claim of participants, even if they were to be killed. We will have nothing to do with this. This will be spelled out. Spelt. This will be spelt out in a document to be signed by the participants before the start of the show.
So, in other words, if you get murdered, your family can't sue. You're out.
It's kind of like when you go to the hospital.
You agree to
be
murdered.
If we murder you in the hospital. Yes. He said, there have been no reality TV projects before that stay on the air 24/7.
Au contraire, Big Brother just had one. It was on
the
internet.
Maybe this was before or after.
No, this was last
week. I don't really care either way. I don't really got anything in this.
You brought a little bit in there. He's not supposed to be here today.
Yeah, I know. Probably all of you have watched the Lost TV series. Nope, never watched it.
And that's not a reality show.
But surviving in a tropical climate is quite different from trying to stay alive in the Siberian taiga? But I feel so stupid when I can't. Taiga? Boreal forest at minus 40 degrees Celsius. There are probably a lot of other reasons I should feel stupid. It shouldn't be that, right?
I didn't say anything.
There will be no filming crew. The whole area will be dotted with cameras, and each participant will be carrying a portable camera with 7-hour life rechargeable battery.
Sounds like a GoPro.
Contestants, yeah, but you know what? In that weather, I bet that 7 hours becomes 30 minutes.
No, I bet not.
Those batteries can't take the cold.
No, they do. Batteries like cold.
No, they don't.
Oh, certainly they do. They don't like the heat.
That is not true.
Ah, you're a little backwards, Greg.
Why don't you look it up?
Got a little bit on
the
backwards
side. Why don't you look it up? Cold will kill a battery. Now, newer battery technology used to be a problem.
I left my cell phone out last winter. Lasted 24 months, the battery. 2 years. I didn't have to charge it.
You're such an idiot. Okay. Contestants must be at least 18 and mentally sane, quote unquote, he said. People from all corners of the world will be allowed to participate, and he promises broadcasts simultaneously translated in English, French, German, Spanish, Chinese, and Arabic, and the aim is to include 15 men and 15 women. Participants can pay 10 million rubles to take part,
around
$165,000.
That's what I'm talking about. That's when I said
it gets
crazier.
I could fill my deep freeze with Buster bars multiple times.
Oh, forever.
Forever, because you die so quickly from eating them. or face selection by viewers in an online voting session. So the poor people can't pay the money. They get selected
right.
in the contest.
If you can't pay the money, you send in your picture and your bio. And
your what?
Your picture and your bio. Your
what?
Picture.
Your picture of what? Picture of tea? Picture of Kool-Aid?
And your bio.
He believes it will attract rich and risky people craving a new and ultimate chance. Okay, this guy sees dollar signs.
Yeah.
That's all
absolutely.
It is. Due to start in July 1st of 2017, the contestants will first receive training, and those brave enough to take part can either survive alone or join together into teams. I'll tell you right now, you know what would kill me?
What?
5 minutes in that cold.
I think I'd be all right.
I like cold.
Well, I would keep a battery with me and just...
I'm not done with this story, by the way.
There's a lot more. Keep going, would you?
Okay, we're going to go through the high points here.
Yeah, you could scan it.
He warned... You should also keep in mind that this will be a real forest with real dangerous wildlife and harmful insects. Of course, there will be some safety precautions in place, but it would still take about a half an hour to reach the area where the show will take place by helicopter. Those taking part will be urged to forage and store food before winter in order to survive in the cold months.
Let me stop you right there because you're not really hitting the high notes.
I'm about to. I wanted to get through those important points. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Their target.
Yes.
To survive until April 1st. No joke.
So it starts.
See what I did there?
Oh, that's a good one.
And well, they actually said that right after, but it will be no joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is stupid, and we're going to go to the next story.
Wait a minute. I wanted to talk about this.
No, it's stupid. This guy, here's I'm going to break this down for you. Guy with an idea who's got the money to produce a show, has no ethics or anything, just says, let's throw people out there. I'm going to wash my hands of it.
We're going to get to the prize part.
Okay.
$165
million. No, $1.65
million. $165,000.
$1.65, and that's my final offer.
Wait,
please, for the love of all the three people that still listen to the show, can we move on?
Okay, but would you try it for $1.65 million?
I would not do that. I would not.
You've made up your mind.
I would not.
Okay, well, let me take this one.
Oh, I feel like.
Okay, ready?
Wait, we have talked about this.
Three times now, but it's never made it to the podcast.
Okay.
Okay, headline is.
Listen, talk about hitting the high points. All you need to hit is nasty sandwich, pink hair, whining in her whining to her local people about bringing it back, and they can't do anything about it.
Okay, next story.
Next story.
Woman begs city council to bring back McRib.
One of your absolute all-time favorite sandwiches.
I bought one McRib, took a bite, threw it away. It was disgusting.
I had a different experience.
Oh, it tasted like I had, like, gravel.
I tasted one. It tasted like it tasted like a decent bun with pickle and a lot of barbecue sauce and some foreign object in the middle that was supposed to be meat.
I couldn't get
but
past
it tasted.
That.
I mean, I think the barbecue sauce is what carried me.
I think it's the texture that got me because it was like eating styrofoam with barbecue sauce
or whale fat.
Over a year ago, a tragic event occurred, Craig. In the fall of 2015, the executives of McDonald's made a grave decision.
High Points, remember? Remember High Points?
McDonald's.
High Points.
The consequences are, of which are still felt today.
Right.
They decided that when the McRib was released that year, it would allow the regional managers to decide whether or not they would offer the McRib again.
Actually, franchisees.
Correct.
Not manager. It was the franchise owners. Yeah.
As a result, a staggering 45% of McDonald's locations elected not to offer the McRib.
You know what they said?
They said, we're smart.
No, you know what they said? They said,
no. As a result, I just read that. It is the single greatest tragedy this country has ever endured. But
according to Pink Hair.
But one woman, one brave voice said no.
She said,
no. No. This will not do. No. You see, when Xanthi Pajarillo. You know what she is?
I think the L's are silent.
She's a McRib activist.
She's a McRib activist.
She realized that none of the 10.
She's an MA.
None of the 10 McDonald's locations in her hometown of Santa Clarita would be offering the McRib. She did what any reasonable red-blooded American citizen would do.
Red-blooded, pink-headed.
Hey, she's a little bitty person, too.
She was very sincere. She was very heart.
You know what? You know what's wrong with her? She's a millennial, and she's always, no pun intended, had it her way.
Like, right.
You know, at Burger King.
I mean, did you get that upset when McDonald's got rid of the McDLT? It was cold on one side, hot on the other.
And it was pretty good, too.
It had Jason Alexander from Seinfeld dancing through the streets.
So this young lady took it to the city council.
She took it to them like they have any say in this whatsoever.
And they're looking at her like, you know what? Yeah, you're making us hungry.
Unless like six of the people on the council are franchise owners.
Exactly.
What is she going to do?
What if all 10 of them were?
But she goes in. They probably say, no. But you know what's really dumb?
What?
She literally goes into this heart-wrenching story about how her family's Thanksgiving or Christmas.
What?
If you watch the video, we need to remind me to get the video out there on our brand new fancy-looking WordPress site.
It's nice.
I say it with sarcasm.
Sure.
But anyway, she basically spills out the story about how it really was special to her and her family. Either Thanksgiving or Christmas, they'd buy a bag of them and bring them. It's like,
that's just so dumb.
How about your family buy some normal food?
Yeah, why don't you go buy a turkey?
Yeah, or goose thing. Or whatever.
Sure, whatever,
whatever you like. You
it's
know?
Smiling at me.
That's right. Chop. Oh, I feel like I know this story too for some reason.
Well, it's a little bit. It's a little. We've talked about it. Not on the show.
This is a story that's got everything I like.
Does it really?
No. Police. It's got police.
I like police.
It's got an inmate.
I don't really like inmates.
It's got a hurt. No. This is the components, the recipe of a story.
Oh, it's a good. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I do like
it's got police.
Story. Yeah, I like that.
It's got an inmate.
Yep.
It's got
escape.
It's got a escape. It's got a hearse.
Ooh.
And it's got a cat.
That's kind of scary. Oh, a kitty.
Yeah, a little kitty cat.
It's not the lady we talked about in the last episode, but attacked her her toy boy boyfriend.
An inmate who walked off his trusty job. Did we decide it was a trusty job or his trusty job?
No, it's a trusty job.
I know, it's the way it's spelled. But sure. You never know with the stuff we were
doing. You don't know.
This inmate walked off of his trusty job at the Louisiana State Police. This is what it says, again, with the way it's written. Basically, okay, here's what you need to know. Break it down. You got an inmate.
Right.
He's got a job.
Yep.
They trust him to do this job. He's kind of got some, like, light security work.
Sure.
Kind of like, what do they call it? Work release kind of.
Yeah, no, work release. Like that. That's it.
He walks off.
Yeah.
They say that this is Jason B. Alexander. You know him from Seinfeld.
He was great on Seinfeld.
Yeah. But he's only 26 when this happened.
Can't stand you.
He stole a hearse from a business on Regret Street. No, it's Egret Street in Lake Charles. At approximately 9:30 this morning, authorities with the Orange Police Department in Texas.
Most police departments are blue, but this one's...
This is an orange one.
That's weird.
in Texas located the stolen hearse, which had been abandoned. Later the same morning, police officers found another stolen car, which they said Alexander was in. He was taken into custody and charged with simple escape. According to KPLC,
doesn't sound that simple.
The hearse was being used by Pet Angels Crematory, and there was a cat in the hearse when it was stolen. Now, when I first read that, I thought there was a dead cat.
Yeah, me too.
But it's not. It was a cat. It was a little cat. The cat lives on the premises and was yet to be found. So basically, the guy.
It was like an office cat.
Basically, yeah, it was basically just the pet cat at the crematory.
Yeah.
And the cat, you know.
How nervous was that cat?
I was going to say, the cat. you took the words out of my mouth. The cat comes in every day, and he's got this spooked look on his face.
What are you doing with that cat?
No, I'm thinking he knows his days are numbered. Yeah. He's he's counting on his wee little paws how many lives he's been through.
This headline was a bit deceptive, because I thought that the guy had the cat, like, you know, because they let some prisoners have pets, like hamsters. We had a story about a riot that started because an inmate's hamster died.
And then the hamster shivved some guy, remember?
Yeah. But this one, I thought that, you know, this was his cat. So he escaped, took his cat, but no, it just happened to be a cat.
And then as a super-duper double-cross, you think it's going to be like a little wee little casket inside with a cat body in it. But it's not. The cat, the cat's like Toons is the cat driving the hearse.
Okay. All right, Craig, I know you. What you are is an honest man. You're an honest guy. You wouldn't steal anything. But if you were going to steal, let's say, a 58-inch TV out of Walmart, what one day would you not want to do that on?
Probably, I'd say a day where it was probably going to be full of cops.
Headline is, man tries to sneak a 58-inch TV out of Walmart during Shop with a Cop event. Now, this is Port St. Lucie, Florida. Lucie? Port St. Lucie, Florida.
It may be Lucie.
A man,
Lucie? Port St. Lucie?
A man who tried to do some Christmas shopping at Walmart in Port St. Lucie.
They said Port. 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 Is there a P-O-R-N-T?
Port.
P-O-R-N. Port.
Port St.
What are you pointing at?
Port St. Lucie is now in the slammer. The old Stony Lonesome. The
big house.
The pokey. The Gray Bar Motel.
Okay, keep going.
In part because of some deputies who were also doing some Christmas shopping for kids. Police say James Walsh, you know James, you remember James,
mm-hmm.
Old Man Walsh's boy? Mm-hmm. He tried to walk out of Walmart with a 58-inch television on Monday.
Was it on his back?
Unfortunately, he didn't pay for it. Surveillance cameras followed the shoplifting suspect.
Wait a minute, they got cameras that can like walk around and
as he strolled.
Wouldn't you be
around,
creeped out if you turn around, there's a camera walking behind you?
I'd be creeped out. Never mind. Around the store with
what?
Nothing. Huge TV box.
Huge TV box.
It's huge. He has his phone to his ear, waiting for his opportunity.
Because everybody knows if you have your phone to your ear while you're stealing a 58-inch TV, it looks like you know what you're doing.
That and you're invisible.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Investigators say a store asset protection officer, that's a wannabe cop, tried to stop Walsh before he walked out of the store. Police said Walsh ran back into the store and left through another exit. So he realized he was being followed. So he's like, "Ooh, my bad." Walked back into the store, and then he just ran out another exit.
I've heard of people that'll come in and they'll just grab a cart that's sitting on the actually, there's a guy I knew that worked at a department store near us here, and back in, this is of course back in like the 1800s or something.
It's not SK, was it?
No. But this guy was telling us that, or he was telling me one time that the guy, there was a like a flatbed full of new products, what TVs, stereo, whatever it was back in the 80s at the time, whatever it was.
Boom boxes.
And he walked out, just pushed it out to the car.
Good grief.
Just act like he worked there. And I think he got busted, but nobody was questioned because he just kind of walked out like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Unfortunately for him, deputies at the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office were at the store.
You're going to feel so silly when people start sending letters in. They start sending letters in. They're saying, you are a doofus.
Shop with a cop event. Several of the policemen ran after him, and they had him in custody in no time. So Walsh admitted to stealing a TV at the same time at the same store the day before. And he came back to he returned to the scene of the crime to do it again, Craig. That was his mistake right there. He got greedy.
That's a pretty big ticket item, too.
Sure.
What does it become, like larceny or grand theft?
Probably.
What is it?
If it's a nice one from Walmart, it was probably like at least $35.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's keep talking about police, shall we?
Maybe if you talk into your microphone.
Put on the red light.
Stop. It's a family show. Police red-faced after a seven-hour standoff at empty Melton House west of Melbourne.
Oh, Melbourne. Can I read this one?
Nope. Police have been left red-faced after embarking on a seven-hour standoff outside of Melton House west
of
Melbourne.
Were they canine police? Oh, embarking. I thought it said barking. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Only to discover no one was inside. Police said they went to a home on Callanan Drive just after 9:30, or 0030, I'm sure is what that means, after receiving information about a person of interest in a current investigation. Officers took every precaution and attempted to call out to anyone inside the house. Hey, mate! Anyone in there, mate?
Nobody came out, so they kept trying.
Right. And police, okay, so after no response from the property, the house was entered and cleared at about 0000 4:30, and no occupants were located inside. So, that was like British or something.
That's okay.
Accent, on Monday,
you know, accents are accents.
Yeah, they're either right or they're wrong,
and they're funny,
and mostly
no
they're
matter
wrong,
what.
And mostly they're wrong. On Monday, police said they had been trying to communicate with a man who was refusing to come out of the house. The critical incident response team, as I would call the CIRT, was also called to the scene, but police did not come away empty-handed. They seized a vehicle and motorbike believed to be stolen. They declined to comment further.
They tried to do that so they wouldn't look sick.
Exactly. It was like,
well, take something.
Like, you mean we've been standing out here how long, mate? There's no one in the house?
7 hours, you say.
Go over there and get that motorbike.
We'll say it's stolen. Go you on. Steal it.
That's,
and we'll
say, that's not a motorbike.
Okay, let's move to Russia. I mean,
No.
Headline is, man wakes up in morgue after being declared dead.
Declared dread?
But he had been declared dead when he drank too much vodka.
How much have you had this morning?
I've had none. Reports, this is Poland. I was all excited because it said vodka.
You thought I was going to get to say, get the missing squirrel.
How bad is that? You talk about, what's the word I'm looking for, Craig? You talk about stereotyping.
Know. Stereotyping.
I just saw vodka in the headline and immediately thought it was Russian.
I got thirsty.
Reports.
No, I'm just kidding. Not even drink.
Reports from the Polish press state that the mortuary guard thought kids had broken in when he heard a commotion. A man who suffered a heart attack following a vodka binge woke up in the mortuary after he was pronounced dead.
No, he was pronounced dead!
Dead! In his unconscious state. That's the report coming from Polish news sources this week concerning a 25-year-old from southwest of Wrocław. The man, named only as Kamil, you know, he's like Kramer. He's probably has
Kamil.
He probably knows nobody. I mean, nobody knows his other names.
Right.
Was reportedly pronounced dead from cardiac arrest. But when he came to and found himself in the morgue, he apparently went back to the pub.
Well,
and he
had nitro going through his veins.
The reports say that he had been at a tavern and felt ill, so he went outside where he collapsed. He stayed unconscious through attempts at the scene later at the hospital to revive him until he was pronounced dead.
So he was literally dead drunk.
Yes, he was dead drunk. A guard reportedly heard sounds from the mortuary the same day, the reports reveal, and found the unfortunate drinker inside a fridge.
Well, what was nice about that is that the vodka wouldn't freeze.
And if he had any batteries in his pocket, they were better than ever. The guard is quoted as saying, "I'm sure it was a burglary. Young people sometimes break into the morgue, but his sounds were coming from the refrigerators."
Was that guy from Asia?
That's not Asian. That's Polish.
That sounded to me like your Asian accent.
With shaking hands, I opened one of the doors.
And yeah, that was Asian.
And there I found a naked corpse. Who asked me for a blanket? Hey, man, I would have been
gone at naked corpse.
Having risen from the dead, Camille was given a checkup. Then his belongings were returned, and he went home via the pub. So not only did he
had to go drink some more.
He had to go have another shot.
That dude can hold his liquor.
Man, Camille knows what he's doing when he drinks, you know? Oh, boy.
Wow.
Here's another one. Hold on a second.
Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Suspected thief.
Yeah.
Unwittingly swipes dog poo. Gets caught. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Brown-handed.
That's disgusting.
This guy's day just got a little bit crappier.
The dog pooped it and it looked like a diamond. He said, "Hey, I'm stealing that."
All right, let's just.
No, go ahead.
We know this is the 21st century version of lighting a bag of poop on fire on the front porch.
No, not really.
Well, it kind of is.
No,
reverse
because
of
you do that as a prank to the innocent people.
It's like this, the reverse of that. This is you're putting it out there. Let's just read the story.
Go ahead.
The alleged thief grabbing more than he bargained for.
I'll say.
And
wait, you left out a line.
Well, I already said his day gets a little crappy.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah, was you don't I talking?
You talking over me. A suspected thief in California was recently caught in a stinky trap after he picked the wrong house to steal from. The crappy situation. Okay, we get the puns. It played out like this.
If journalism's not going to be good, at least they're trying to be fun.
I know. According to the local Los Angeles TV station there, Mike Zaremba of Riverside was dismayed after three packages were stolen from outside the front door of his home. He wanted revenge, so he and his friend brewed up a really stinky idea.
Brewed up.
He waited until his wife... This is the part... This is actually, to me, more tragic part of the story.
Yeah, I agree.
Waited until his wife held a birthday party for their Great Dane. And then collected the piles of poop left by nine dogs in attendance. He neatly packaged the turds and left them in a box on his front porch.
Can we stop for a second and discuss this?
Can we just stop completely?
This lady had a birthday party for her dog.
There's so many things wrong with this story.
That's funny enough.
That you would have a birthday.
But the fact is, nine dogs came to the party.
Nine dogs came toting gifts.
Where's the cake?
And they got their wee little party hats on and little party favors.
Hey, Ralph, how are you? How's your day?
And they're rough. And they're not even shaking hands. They're sniffing each other's back ends. A video surveillance camera rolled as a man identified by police as 39-year-old Daniel Aldama wheeled up on a bike and relieved. See, stop. Relieved Zaremba of his special package.
Special.
Using the tape as evidence. Well, they don't use digital now. Everything's on tape.
It's tape. Can't afford digital.
Wrigglesworth. Ronell Newton of the Riverside Police Department reportedly tracked down the alleged turd burglar. And that's what it says. And took him into custody. This is a quote. He dropped it as soon as he found out. He didn't want nothing to do with it.
Well, imagine that.
Interestingly, Zaremba is not the first to stoop to such a crappy trick. Similar stories have been reported in Spokane, Washington, and Washington, D.C. And I've been using this term right here.
That's
a
good term.
Porch pirates beware.
Yes.
Porch pirates being the people that steal packages off your front porch.
Yep.
Tis the season of sharing and a time for surprises, so that next package you grab could very well contain some just desserts.
Ugh. I don't like desserts.
And I like the one where the guy rigged it to blow up, and the guy got in his car, and it blew up in his car.
Yeah, that was a good... That's a great video.
Blew up meaning, like, poop went everywhere.
Everywhere. Let me ask you this, Craig. Let's say you have a birthday party for one of your little dogs, mm-hmm. and nine dogs come. How do you collect the poop from those other nine dogs? Do you request that dogs poop in the box?
I think he just went around the backyard picking up poop.
And throwing it in a box.
Just throwing it in a box. Poop in a box.
That's disgusting. All right. Here's another one of these stories where something went wrong at the bank and somebody thought they were rich, but actually it wasn't their money.
Another one of those where the bank made a mistake.
Yep.
Genius decides,
hey, I'm rich.
I'm entitled to whatever.
Not my fault.
That means it's my money. Yes. It's my money.
Headline is, man blows $1 million on cars and drugs after a bank glitch.
And drugs.
Yeah. A debt-ridden student blew $1.3 million on sports cars.
He was debt-ridden, all right.
Speedboats and drugs after a bank error gave him an unlimited overdraft.
In other words, the bank was going to let him use his card for anything, no matter if the funds were there or not. Doesn't matter.
Luke Moore lived the high life for 2 years before he was caught by cops and jailed on fraud charges. Oh, the Australian treated himself to luxury holidays, an Aston Martin.
That's a 007 car.
A Maserati.
Mm-hmm.
And a boat while living the ultimate bachelor lifestyle.
You know, Australians like this are going to make people think that that whole continent is full of nothing but criminals.
Ooh, flashback.
Oh, wait, that is history.
Yeah.
Sorry, Australia. We still love you.
He was slapped with a 4-year jail term last year after...
We're not saying they're criminals now.
No, no.
We're saying historically.
No, that's how it started.
Those no good Brits sent them packing.
Correct.
Haughty Brits.
That's not a knife. The banking glitch came to light. Moore, 29 years old, went free last week after winning an appeal of his convictions on the grounds that his actions were not deceptive. How's that not deceptive?
I don't know.
He is now broke and living with his mother in Goulburn.
Well, where's the Aston Martin and the Maserati?
New South Wales. Ironically, while studying, you know what he's studying for? He's going to become a criminal lawyer.
He was doing research.
They're not talking about a criminal attorney. They're talking about a criminal lawyer.
He's an actual criminal lawyer.
Yeah. But he told the Daily Telegraph, He did not miss his lavish multimillionaire lifestyle. Besides the drugs and all the fast cars, the boat and everything, you know. He said he was still readjusting to real life and could no longer want to drive
around. When was he ever in real life?
No longer wanted to drive around in flashy cars. The law student bagged the free cash after opening a, no pun intended here, a complete freedom account with St. George in
March. It's right there in the name.
2010.
It's in the name, Aaron.
It's not my fault.
It's in the name.
They complete said it was
freedom.
Freedom to do whatever I'd like.
You know, a good lawyer could use that.
A computer error meant he was allowed to overdraw the account and spend a total of $1.5 million.
That's
about American.
$2.1 million Australian dollars.
But instead of telling the bank, he made increasingly large withdrawals, transferred the funds into multiple accounts. So he was planning ahead.
At what point do you not feel guilty?
I don't know. As well as
apparently at the beginning he never felt guilty and it kept going.
As well as buying a framed Michael Jordan shirt. Probably one that Michael Jordan took off himself and framed at that, you know,
right.
That much money. The student used the cash to pay his mortgage, insurance, and other bills.
It was just a
Walmart
shirt.
That's all
we got. That's good.
That is good.
That's it. That's all. That's it. You know what? Until some more crazy, stupid people make more news for us, and then we'll have more stories.
We'll have stories coming out our ears.
But we... Ew.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah. Better get a Q-tip.
And I, you know what I'm going to review this week for Ace Podcast? Listen to this.
Which one?
But there's been some new ones, but today I'm reviewing...
Our show?
I'm reviewing the Ace Podcast Network.
Oh, let's do it. You know why? Because they're boss.
They are awesome. You got Adam and you got Lee.
These two guys
have been doing their podcast for a couple of years now, and it's called Misguided Consultation.
Yep.
We've been guests on the show.
Yes, we have.
We listen faithfully because it's a great program.
Yes, we do.
But they got together and they're like, you know what? We don't have a good podcast network available. Let's make our own.
Let's join forces.
So they set up Ace Podcast Network and sent out a call.
Started constructing the Death Star.
They looked for interesting podcasts, and that's why you need to go to acepodcastnetwork.com, or you could Google it if you can't remember that. And
just remember, Ace Podcast.
There's dozens. Or are those at least a dozen now?
Wow, you really blew that up, didn't you?
But it's growing.
There's thousands.
It's growing all the time. If you enjoy our podcast, you're going to enjoy all of the podcasts on Ace Podcast Network. So I thank Adam and Lee for having us as part of the network. Keep up the great work, guys. Let us know what we can do to help you. And be sure you tune in next time when you might hear Craig say,
whoop, 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 whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop,
thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.